again, medical education podcast listeners. This is Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you today from an absolutely glorious Vancouver afternoon. And I have the pleasure of speaking with Taylor Robotham, who's a third-year medical student at the Schulich School of Medicine and Dentistry at Western University, which is in Ontario, about two-thirds of the way across Canada from where I'm sitting at the moment. She and her co-authors have a paper coming out in the May 2018 issue of the journal titled Beyond Catharsis, The Nuanced Emotion of Patient Storytellers in an Educational Role. Taylor, I understand you're having a similarly glorious end of winter, and glad that you could make the time after a busy rotation to chat with me.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me. It's my pleasure.
I feel like I need to start by asking you a little bit about your own personal history and what got you into an effort like this so early in your medical training. It's quite rare for a medical student to take a project this successfully through to publication, and many of our listeners will be interested to know how they might encourage similar efforts amongst their own students. So do you mind telling us a little bit about how, by the time you get halfway through your third year, you're already a published author in medical education?
Absolutely. So I became interested in patient storytelling because I was able to listen to patient stories as part of my medical school curriculum in my first year of medical school. Patients were invited to come to our classroom and share with us their stories of illness and their experience in the healthcare system. So I was quite moved by their stories and intrigued by the power that these stories have as a teaching and learning tool. And so I subsequently became involved in this project through what's called the Summer Research Training Program at Schulich, where students are given the opportunity to enter into a project with a mentor. And the project is conducted over the course of two summers. So over the course of the summer between my first and second year of medical school and then my second and third year of medical school, I became involved in this.
Fantastic. And you just mentioned patient storytellers, which is the focus of the exercise. I suspect the term is somewhat self-explanatory, but what does it mean to have a patient storyteller in your curriculum?
So for us in this research, we define patient storytellers as patients as well as their family members and caregivers who share their healthcare experiences.
And in your particular context, these are formal classroom-based discussions, or is there any particular way in which they play out that would help our listeners understand the context of your study?
The setting in which we studied patient storytelling was actually a bit different from the setting in which I was first exposed to patient storytelling. So for the purpose of this study, we explored the experience of patients who share their stories as part of an in-hospital storytelling curriculum at our Academic Health Sciences Center here in London. And the purpose of that curriculum is hospital staff continuing education.
And so there weren't students or trainees involved per se in the particular activities that you were studying?
In the setting that we were studying, the audience members consisted of healthcare professionals that were either new to the profession or had already been practicing for a period of time, but it was not a trainee setting.
And this sounds quite implicitly like a value-added activity, lots of effort towards becoming more patient-centered and thinking carefully about what people actually experience. You suggest in your paper that there might be reason for concern about the way these storytellers are treated or the impact of engaging in these sorts of roles. What was it that made you think it was worth trying to better understand the influence of being a patient storyteller on those individuals?
Well, with healthcare increasingly shifting towards patient and family centeredness, there's a growing recognition that engaging patients in healthcare organizations is necessary to generate authentic insight into the patient experience. Previous studies had focused on the experience of patients who had engaged in other educational initiatives, like standardized or simulated patients, or as patient advisors on hospital councils. And previous literature had also focused on the experience of patients who had shared their stories outside of an educational context. And there was some literature surrounding potential negative effects on patients who participate in other educational roles. So, for example, stress symptoms like exhaustion, feeling anxious, even negative physical effects secondary to being exposed to physical examinations as a standardized or simulated patient, as well as fatigue, exhaustion, a number of negative psychological, emotional, and physical effects. So no one had looked into the experience of patients who had shared their stories for the purposes of education. And in order to develop educational initiatives that nurture ethical and sustainable partnerships with patient storytellers, we wanted to understand how they experienced their role and whether there were any potential adversities or consequences to this role so that we could potentially mitigate these in future contexts. So in order to find that out, we interviewed the patients who participate in the curriculum at London Health Sciences Center.
And in terms of that interview, what sort of prompts did you give them to get them reflecting on the types of experiences that you were most interested in?
They were semi-structured interviews, which meant that I had a set of prompts, but it was also a free-flowing conversation, and they were able to take the interview where they wanted to take it. So I would often start out by asking them what their experience was like as a patient storyteller, what impact they felt telling their story had, whether there were any consequences to telling their story, and if so, what were those consequences, whether the experience had changed at all since they first started telling their story, and how it had changed. And then from there, we often had a wonderful conversation in which they told me what they wanted to tell me, and I didn't need to ask all that much or push.
So what are the first two words of your title suggest, beyond catharsis? I assume that means that cathartic reactions were prominent, but what was it that led you to think that you've got data that gives you some indication as to how these storytelling experiences are pushing people beyond that perception?
So previous literature that had studied the experience of storytelling found that there was a catharsis associated with sharing, that there was a beneficial emotional disclosure. And our findings resonated with that in that there was a central role of emotion for our patient storytellers, and they did feel therapeutic emotional catharsis. However, we found that there was a more of a non-linear trajectory of emotion in patient storytelling. So emotion was shaped by a number of factors throughout the process of storytelling, which allowed storytellers to grow more distant from their emotion and ease their emotional response to storytelling. However, it was not simply a release of emotion. It was unpredictable. And emotion could actually be triggered at sudden or startling times for even experienced patient storytellers.
And even unpredictable by them in terms of their reaction to telling these stories at any given moment?
Exactly, yeah. They described having times where they could tell their story without feeling overcome by emotion, and then having sudden and surprising times where they felt overcome by the emotion of their healthcare experience, and then suddenly felt vulnerable in their role as a storyteller.
Well, in the things that you mentioned that shape those reactions, it's somewhat intuitive to think that the longer the time or the more time that has passed, or the more often one has told their story, the less emotional it might become. But what does audience acknowledgement mean? How did that have an influence?
Receiving audience acknowledgement and feedback made storytellers feel validated in their role. It made them feel like the emotional investment that they were making in their role was worthwhile, and that they were actually making a change.
So the emotional reactions that they were describing weren't necessarily good or poor things in any given moment. It sounds like the context in which the emotion was felt had a big influence on their perception of whether it was okay for them to be in that state.
Yeah, it was interesting that different storytellers packaged their emotion differently when telling their story. So some individuals described emotion adding personal significance and meaning to their story and acting as a reminder of what their powerful healthcare experience was really like. And others described using emotion as a tool to tell a more effective story. And some storytellers, when they became quite experienced, were actually able to remove emotion and reintroduce it as a tool for delivering a story that they thought the audience would find meaningful.
So given the unpredictability that you described and the laudable goals that you mentioned at the very beginning of wanting to make sure that these individuals are treated ethically, and again, the most recent comments you made about, you know, evoking emotion wasn't necessarily a bad thing in their eyes, what are your thoughts or your advice in terms of how educators who try to enroll patient storytellers might interact with them to try to make it as beneficial and positive an experience for everyone involved?
I think, first of all, we can reassure individuals who will be participating in the role of patient storyteller that there will be times when they feel emotionally raw and that that's okay and it's normal. And we can then also normalize emotional events when they happen. We can also encourage meaningful interaction between storytellers and audience members through attentive and thoughtful facilitation of storytelling events, since we know that receiving that audience acknowledgement and feedback is a beneficial thing for storytellers. I think lastly, I would recommend that we provide storytellers with ample opportunity to debrief and share feedback about the storytelling experience to ensure that they feel like they have an outlet to share outside of the classroom.
And does that happen in your setting? I'm curious as to what that debriefing might look like in this context.
Yeah, so one of the contributing authors to this work came to us as the leader of the patient storytelling curriculum at London Health Sciences Center. And these were things that she was already doing. She is quite supportive and thoughtful towards her storytellers. And she provided the storytellers with an open door where they could speak with her after the storytelling session and share feedback about what went well, what didn't go well, and why they felt that way.
That's great, and I'll direct our listeners to the paper again, given that the more details are included there in terms of the implications and some of the other ways in which it might be worth thinking about how your data help us to think about the complexity of the task and the activity and the support of patient storytellers in their roles. So you'll find that again in the May 2018 issue of Medical Education. The title is Beyond Catharsis, The Nuanced Emotion of Patient Storytellers in an Educational Role. And the voice you've been hearing other than mine is Taylor Robotham's, who is a third-year medical student, as I mentioned. And so let me commend you once again, Taylor, on an impressive piece of work for anyone, let alone somebody who's so new to medical training themselves.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Congratulations, and wish you the best of luck with the rest of your studies.
Thank you very much.